This is your day to shine. And to help you do that, I'm going to lead you and me, through a little exercise of rewriting our resumes. We will learn to do this from the Apostle Paul. Before we do that, I have to tell you one of the difficulties I have when it comes to resume writing, because I don't just write a resume on paper. I carry one around inside me. I suffer from a disease you've probably never heard of. It's called impressivitis. And it is a kind of an addiction to want to impress other people, to want to look smarter, better, stronger, more spiritual, whatever the category is, than I actually am. And it never works because I always have to fake it when I'm trying to appear a certain way. And it never works because it turns out that I can impress people or I can love them, but I can't do both. And in the very attempt at trying to impress people, I'm actually driving them away. And it's the opposite of what Jesus did in this letter that we're studying in Philippians, where at the heart of it is the story of his not impressing people, but his great descent, his coming down the ladder. I'll get to Philippians in a moment. This is from Henry Nouwen, The Value of a Human Person. We're living in a culture that measures the value of the human person by degrees of success and productivity. What is your title? How much money do you make? How many friends do you have? What are your accomplishments? How busy are you? What do your children do? I know those questions very well. But it is important for us to remember that as we grow older, our ability to succeed in this way gradually diminishes. We lose our titles, our friends, our accomplishments, and our ability to do many things. We begin to feel weaker, more vulnerable, more dependent. If we continue to look at ourselves from the point of view of success, our condition is not a good one. Because of our strong cultural vision, it is a huge challenge to look at vulnerability not as a negative thing, but as a positive thing, to move from impressivitis to humility, the way of humiliation. It's a different kind of resume. Do we dare to look at weakness as an opportunity to become fruitful? Shall I put that on my resume? Fruitfulness in the spiritual life is about love. And this fruitfulness is very different from success or productivity. Now, this is the shift that the Apostle Paul is making in his life. I want to take a few moments to unpack that. He talks about rejoicing in the Lord in chapter 3 of his letter to the church at Philippi, and then beware the dogs, the mutilators, the circumcisers, for it's we who are the circumcision. In other words, the idea of circumcision is it's to express the being in a loving covenant relationship with God. It's not the superficial thing that people can see. We serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. What does it mean to put confidence in the flesh? Well, it means by the things that I do, by the way that I look, I'm trying to impress other people and prove that I have worth as a person. Paul says, I've stopped doing that, although I have reasons for such confidence. He wants people to know the reason he stopped doing that is not because I've got nothing to offer. I've got no reasons to point to. And if I did, then maybe I'd cling to those. And then he goes on to list the old resume. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel. That was the right day to be circumcised. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was a tribe that remained loyal to the king even when there was exile and the 10 tribes of Israel that were lost. There was a great cry and war behind you, O Benjamin. That was a great tribe to be from. That's me, Paul says. A Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. The world of history behind that notion of zeal in Israel, where it was understood very often, including in the Maccabean revolt, as the ability to take on our enemies and overcome them. That was me. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. That's my resume. It's pretty impressive. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now, in Paul's day, religious achievements were highly regarded, and so he will naturally write about that. And it may be, you know, if you have a background in the church, then thinking about your spiritual accomplishments, look how often I pray, look how well I know the Bible, look how much I've done in ministry. That may be pretty high on the list. However, this is a much deeper issue than just religious categories. I can also try to prove my worth in a lot of other ways in our day through my vocation, through the way that I look, through the things that I have accomplished, through what it is that I have acquired. And all of those things keep me from love, and they keep me from the way of Jesus. So we're going to rewrite our resumes today, and sometimes you'll have classes on how to do that. Here's the old resume. The old resume was me. And for Paul, that's kind of the religious me, circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew of the Hebrews when it comes to the law. But it could be whatever it is for you, you go ahead and think about. But my IQ, my accomplishments, the people that I know, my network, could be the way that I look. What is it that you tend to put in your secret, you know, unwritten resume that you would submit to the universe to show your worth as a person? And Paul had one of those. Every one of us carries this around. We all do. We put confidence in the flesh. That's what that means at the core level. Now Paul says, my new relationship is Christ. I will boast in Christ, in his way of love. And therefore, strangely enough, my weaknesses, my failures, my need become things that have helped me in my journey to be free of this and to enter into this. So, what's your resume? For me, I would put my failure as a parent and my failure as a pastor, getting terminated from that role, and lots of other things that go along with these. Now, those would have been things that many, many years ago would have horrified me, and I would have wanted to believe could never be true of me, but they are. I don't even know the extent to which I'm responsible for them, but I know that I am, and I know that they are there. And somehow, I have met God, and I meet with other people. I become someone that folks often will feel like it's safe to talk to because they know that I've gone through pain and through failure in ways that if I just try to meet them on the basis of my, here's my me resume, here's my success resume, here's my gifts, here's my accomplishments, would never happen. There would be no deep meeting, no power of the Spirit going through that. Paul writes in his letter to the church at Galatia, very similar words. This is Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. They want to impress people. And then he says, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would boast in a cross? And of course, that's God, who opposes the proud. Here's my me resume, confidence in the flesh. Look what I can do. And all of those things keep me from love. And they keep me from experiencing love from God and from other people. I boast in the cross, in the willingness to humble myself and to serve and to be vulnerable about my weaknesses. My friend and pastor, Pastor Rob, brought a book yesterday, and he was talking about in the Methodist world, if you've heard about John Wesley, John Wesley was very, very bright. He had many reasons to put confidence in the flesh. He was educated at Oxford. He'd rubbed shoulders with the elite and the famous. And Church of England at that time tended especially to serve those kind of folks. But then there were other people in England, the illiterate people in prisons, coal miners. Alcohol abuse was a terrible thing. Poverty was a terrible thing. And God calls Wesley to reach them, but he can't do that when he's operating in his old ways. And so in the spring of 1739, he goes to Bristol and he sees these people that are in desperate need. And the only way to reach them is to go to where they are. It's just like go outside and start talking to people. And that was against all the rules. Wesley writes, I had been all my life so tenacious of every point relating to decency and order that I should have thought the saving of souls almost a sin if it had not been done in a church. And then April 2nd, 1739, here's the phrase, gang, for the new resume. He does something he never thought he would do. At 4 in the afternoon, I submitted to be more vile. I submitted to be more vile and proclaimed in the highways the glad tidings of salvation. I submitted to be more vile, went to places that he would never have gone, spoke to people to whom he would never have spoken. And it didn't go so well. That first day, it says, when he was done preaching, the people pelted him. I've not had that experience too often, but that didn't stop him. And he went the next day and he preached in a prison. And the world was changed. England was changed in the 18th century. And a movement began because one man submitted to be more vile. I will let go of my pride and my title and my accomplishments. And I'll do stuff that just looks like I know I'll get criticized if I do it. I will submit to be more vile. Who does that? Well, the Apostle Paul did that. I used to have all these reasons to have confidence in the flesh, and I did everything just right, and that stuff used to be on my resume. It's not anymore. It's just Christ. I'm a weak and needy person. I need him. Who would submit to be more vile? Well, that would be Jesus, who being in very nature God did not reckon equality with God to be grounds for grasping, but poured himself out, became a servant, took on the very form of a slave, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the invitation today, submit yourself to be more vile. Just serve. Just let go of that old resume. Today, instead of self-promotion, who can I help? Who can I love? Do I dare to be vulnerable? Do I dare to let people know I am weak, I have failed, I am not the person or leader or pastor or parent or man that I thought I was, but right in my failures and inadequacy, here is my friend God to love me, and we can meet there together as the fellowship of the withered hand, as we submit to be more vile, and then strangely enough, we shine.
Hey, I'm Tim. Thanks for tuning in today to Become New. We hope that these teachings aren't just hitting your ears, but are touching your heart as well and giving you one actionable opportunity each day to put into practice that can help you grow spiritually with Christ. I needed the teaching today. I don't know about you, but in our world where we're completely saturated with social media and examples of other people and how great they are, I can often think, and how come I'm not more, just more in general, more successful, more competent, more effective, more whatever, fill in the blank. And I just needed to remember today that I'm not enough and I never will be enough, but Christ is enough for me, and to just rest in that. What was your takeaway today? We would love to hear about it in the comments. If you want more from Become New, you can find more at becomenew.com. We send out a daily email with these videos. We also send a text reminder. If you want that, you can text the word become to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.